Blog Talk Radio.
I'm getting down to the sum of this, the sum of that, the sum of everything. Hello, it's episode day 29 of Come Get Some here with Chris C, Miami Sixth Man. You can follow me on Twitter at Miami Sixth Man and on my show account at CGS here. Also, you can email me if you have any feedback, any thoughts, any concerns, any questions, any wants for the show. This is as much your show as it is mine. I'm not giving you my password, and if I win any awards on this podcast ever, God forbid, you won't be on stage with me, but you'll be present in spirit, and I really do appreciate you listening every week. But I forgot what I was going to say. My point is, you can email me at cgshere@gmail.com. cgshere@gmail.com is what I'm trying to tell you, is email me there. If you want to hear something specific, bring it up. If you say I'm wrong about something, you want to call me out, bring it up, and I will get back to you personally and or on the air. Now, right now, what we're dealing with here is I think I might be considered a little bit of a suppressive person. It's an SP in Scientology talk. So today is part two of the part two of Kathy Schenkelberg's conversation with me, the awesome Kathy Schenkelberg. Her show, her one woman show, Squeeze My Cans, is going back to LA. Go to squeezemycans.com to look into that. You definitely want to see the show. I haven't seen it, heard tons about it. Can't wait till it comes to my area. If I have to, I may travel. But before we get to part two of my conversation with Kathy, I do want to address the 690-pound overlord alien being in the room. I think I might be labeled as an SP by the Scientology world. An SP, as I said earlier, is a suppressive person. But I often wonder, if you're going to go around labeling everything a negative term, calling everything suppressive that doesn't agree with you, everything outside of what you're doing in your group suppressive, perhaps you are the ones being suppressive. Maybe instead of concentrating and spreading the word about all these SPs, you should be focusing on your PP. That's right. Get your PP out there. Show your PP to everyone. Let all those you feel need to hear it and need to know it bathe in the warmth of your PP. I should say that's positive. Power of positivity is what I'm trying to say. PP, not SP, PP, power of positivity. That's all. Anyway, this works so much better in my head. Okay, so where we left off with Kathy was, saying that someone looked her up on IMDb and said, she's nobody. I can't find any of her credits, but she was, on all kinds of commercial ads that don't show up on IMDb, and they're going, oh, she's just a clown. She's just a clown. So check that out. Check that out if you haven't heard part one yet. We're picking up right from there right now to my favorite ex-clown and ex-Scientologist, Kathy. And stay tuned after the interview, after part two, because part three is next week, and I'll give you a little sneak preview of what's coming up for that. Here you go.
The voiceover thing, I'm trying to get in the voiceover. I don't do a very good impressions, but I can, I want to do voices. you don't have to do impressions to do voiceover. It depends on what you're doing.
You have to be able to read copy.
Yes.
And it's a different world now because I can't. I mean, I haven't booked voiceover in so long. I used to book all the time, but listen, so much is non-union and so much goes to celebrities. Unless it's just not the same market as it used to be for me. And, I mean, I made a lot of money in voiceover, and I don't discourage anybody from getting into it. It's just that what happened is people were saying, I want to do voiceover where I get paid $500. Someone say, well, I'll do it for $50. And I'm thinking, why would you sell yourself short?
Just to get that name.
I just want to do it. I want my family to hear me, or I want my kid. I'm like, I just don't get it, So I am lucky that I made the living that I did when I did. Yes, I gave a lot to the church, but I also gave, I helped my family. I was able to travel a bit, and my daughter didn't suffer that much.
Right.
You know, we had a roof over our heads, and so we are luckier than most. And I say that really sincerely when I say we were luckier than most, because we weren't born into Scientology. We didn't get disconnected from family members, and there's thousands of them out there.
It gets bad.
Thousands of people who haven't seen their grandchildren or parents or siblings because they left the church not in good standing. And like, they went, I don't want anything to do with it. And so they were shunned.
Well, I'm glad you say that, because that's one of the things you hear about in the media, you read about in the papers, but you don't know how true it is, and you're kind of confirming it. And that's mm-hmm. important knowledge there. And I was going to say before about the voice acting, it's kind of a thankless job. It's getting a little bit more notoriety today than it has in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
right.
that's why the ignorance is there with that. I wish he was just a clown. And
yeah. Okay. Hey, I'm proud of being a clown on the Bozo Show. That was fun. I had a blast. I'm an actor. I'm a singer. I sing in bars in Chicago. I sing jazz. I did Madame Chenardier and Les Mis and quite a few other shows. And I love performing in theater. That's what I did before I got into Scientology. And then I stopped. And I was so stupid because I stopped doing it. Yeah, it was my fault, but I was in Clearwater. I couldn't exactly go on tour with anything.
Right.
You know, I made that choice. See how I'm not blaming. I'm not blaming
No.
it. I chose to do it, but I was definitely indoctrinated for sure.
You don't have to blame them, but that's not okay. You know what I mean? It's not okay what
right.
they do. I want to ask you. You said you were there. Were you there actively for 15 years?
Yeah, I was. It was about August of 2004 when I went. I don't think this is going to work out. And then it took me another 5 years to really decide to get out. It took me another five. I mean, I was concerned early on when they tried to recruit my daughter into the Sea Org, and I said she was young, and they were like, hey, you could do this when you're 18, you're an adult, and you could join the Sea Organization, and you don't need your parents' signature when you're 18. And my daughter told me that, and I was like, I told them she's hands off, don't mess with her. And then it kind of went downhill from there. And also when the money was gone, and also people not, I wasn't invited to play in the reindeer games. Okay. I was no longer, part of the group because of certain things.
No, I know you don't want this to be a focal point of the conversation. But the reindeer game, the whole thing, not being part of reindeer games, I imagine that's a cross between, not being able to provide the expenses as well as, how your audition went. You had an audition that you didn't know what you were auditioning for?
Yeah, that was just, I had no idea. I went into, I got called in to do an audition for a video, part of the church called the Golden Era Productions. And they do training videos to disseminate Scientology or to use as a training tool for people that are in Scientology. And so I thought I was auditioning for that, and I went into the room in Hollywood at the Manor Hotel. And when I got there, I was in front of a camera, and just like any audition, you slate your name, Kathy Schenkelberg, where are you from? I tell them, what level are you on? OT7, which is the operating Thetan 7. A couple other questions about my stuff and life, and then what do you think of Tom Cruise? And honest to God, I was like, oh, man, again, being that guy, I'm not a fan. I mean, I was so bummed when him and Nicole broke up and this and that. And I'm shooting off at the mouth, as my mother says, talking around your foot. But I just didn't dig the guy. And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, are you going to give me a script? Do I have anything to read? And he excused me from the room. And I'm like, well, that was weird. So I go out and just lobby, and I bump into this singer named Brooke, and she says, oh, my God, how'd you do? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, you know that was an audition to be Tom Cruise's girlfriend. And I'm like, I don't think I'm getting a call back.
What a bizarre thing.
Well, and I don't know how she knew that. And I just kind of, you know what, I just swept it under the table. I was like, yeah, whatever. I mean, why would they ask me that? That's so weird. And then it wasn't until I talked to other people who got out of the church And I talked to the guy who got out of the church as running the camera, and he goes, oh, yeah, I remember you. But then I knew it was like, and then I read Lawrence Wright book, Going Clear, and I thought, well, yeah, it did happen. It happened to me, and it happened to other people, too, maybe. And they were, you know, women who were Scientologists who were upper levels, very affluent or doing well in life. I mean, look, I wasn't the hottest thing in the room at all, but I wasn't anything to scoff at. But I'm sorry.
Well, Kathy, the thing with that was I read somewhere that that started a downward spiral where you weren't allowed to, like you said, you weren't allowed to play in the reindeer games, you weren't allowed to parties, you asked to leave the room.
Well, I think something said blacklisted, but I don't recall ever saying I was blacklisted. I was shunned. I was not exactly the. Let me put it this way. I was a celebrity, considered a celebrity, until someone bigger came along.
Again,
like you're excused from the table. It's like, you got to leave because there's someone bigger over here that needs that seat, or you're invited to the party, but now you can't come. And that really ticked me off. It was like, wait a minute, we're all Scientologists. We all poop and pee. We all need to sleep. We're not any different than anybody else just because you're making $1 million and I'm not.
Right.
We're all looking for this spiritual freedom and hoping to help people and mankind. But, man, when I got bumped, I think one of the biggest thing I bought, there's a ship called the Freewinds, and I paid for a really nice room. It was $5,000 for the week on this cruise.
Wow.
It's $5,000 for the week, and I had a beautiful room that you could have windows, and it was the Millennium. I was so excited. I get on the ship, and they gave it away to Jenna and Bodie Elfman. And they told me, yeah, they wanted that room. And I bought it a year ago.
Wow.
And I got put down under the galleys, the kitchen. And they said, well, we'll credit you the next time you come on the ship. Well, I never went back, so I never got credited. So
right.
I stayed in a room that was maybe $12.50 a week. And so but that's what I mean. That's where you go, oh, okay, so these two people wanted that room that I paid for a year ago, and I'm supposed to just bite it, which I...
But they were telling you were special, right?
You're not special anymore now.
Yeah.
You know what? It's just within Scientology, there is a clique, just like anything. Come on, it's everywhere. It's not just science, but there's a clique within a clique. You know, you ever go to a table and you go, oh, I don't feel comfortable at this table because everybody stopped talking when you sat down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I don't need that. I'd rather hike in the mountains and walk dogs than conform. And conform and be something I'm not.
So what came first,
yeah,
the treatment over the Tom Cruise interview or the Sea Org offer?
Oh, it was kind of all, let me see, the cruise ship thing, then the daughter thing, and then the Tom Cruise audition, which basically I didn't get shunned from because of that. I got disenchanted. I was like starting to go. I was questioning things, and every time I questioned something,
oh, how dare you?
Pulled into ethics,
mm-hmm.
Huh?
How dare you?
Yeah, yeah. You. If you question something, or even what L. Ron Hubbard wrote, you have to go through a series of looking up your misunderstood words, finding out until you get so exhausted, you're like, yeah, okay, I get it. That's okay. It's cool. I understand now.
It looks like geometry.
You know, you're just like. I don't know if I can cuss on. Can I cuss on this podcast?
Cuss a little bit. It's PG-13. You can.
Well, nah, I'm not gonna. I'm gonna keep it clean. But
well,
you know,
kind
I kind
of
went screw it. Screw it.
Mm-hmm.
You know the word I want to use.
Yes.
So and literally when I was running out of money, I was told, well, you need to do a special rundown. You need to handle why you're not making money. So wait a minute. I need to handle why I'm not making money, but I have to give you more money to handle why I'm not making money. I'm like, dang.
You are smart. You figured
you know,
it out.
I am a, really smart people have gotten into Scientology.
Absolutely.
Here's the here's the kicker. People want to help. So you get in because of, or wanting, like I said, wanting to improve your life and help others. But you don't realize it until you're so into it and you've paid so much money that it's like, a great example. It's your wedding day. I've never been married, but let's just say it's your wedding day, because I know people who told me this. And you are in that room, the photographer's there, and everybody's there, and you're getting ready to walk down that aisle, and you're thinking, holy crap, I should not be getting married. But I'll just do it because I already paid the money. That was me. I was like, oh, man, as soon as I got to a certain point, I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll just finish this one more thing, and then I'm done because I already paid for it.
Wow.
Gosh, I hope you can see the show when it's in Florida. I mean, you have to follow it on the website.
We'll absolutely.
Squeezemycans.com. And I'm really flattered also that you took the time to read some reviews. Not just all the articles and stuff, but the actual reviews of the show. I'm going to post a link to some of them on my website because we have a lot of them up. That really makes me so happy when people I don't even know came to the show and took the time at the Hollywood Fringe to write a review.
That is awesome.
That says a lot. People that know and love you already, that's one thing, and I appreciated it, but I'm talking about people that I've never met who tell me thank you. Wow.
It is awesome. That's the whole reason you're doing it now. I mean, a big part of the reason. Part of it's for yourself, but a lot of it is you are helping others.
It's not for the money and you know the church is really notorious, like, oh, she's just trying to make money, this is her 15 minutes of fame or whatever. Not that they've said that about me, because I'm really, like I said, I'm not anything to write home about as far as the church is concerned, but I am something to write home about if you have a young, you know, daughter or son or a loved one or friend who's considering it. They come see the show and they will change their mind. And I kid you not, I have talked to, I've done 20 shows so far. I have talked to people that almost got in. I have talked to people who has family members that got in. And I've talked to people that are still in the church but under the radar that they wouldn't let me take a picture and post it on Facebook. They're like, no.
Wow.
I can't. I don't want to lose my job, or I have a sibling that's still in. So I wanted to come to your show because I don't do Scientology, but I don't want my name out there because I don't want to lose my job, or, you know, because they work with us.
You become a suppressive by default.
So I'm declared a suppressive, so you really can't connect to me.
Right.
I would not be someone you'd want to be connected to.
All right. Well,
that
obviously,
so
I can't talk to you about this without asking you. The one big thing people think about when you think of Scientology, I have to ask you the Xenu questions. When did you first hear of Xenu?
When I opened the materials, when I went into the course room, when I opened it and read it and went, what the F?
Was that OT3?
Yeah.
OT3.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they saved it, because if they would have showed me that at the beginning,
you're out the door. Yeah.
but you know, I obviously did it because I had paid for it. I mean, like, what am I going to do? I'm here. I'm in the room. I just spent how many months in Florida, in Clearwater, Florida, going from Dianetic Clear to OT7, which is the top level that you go home and audit on. And now I'm here and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is what I have to do for the next 3 months it took me to audit on that. And then you continue. Well, you noticed the alien hands, right?
On
my graphics. Yeah. So, again, and it also plays on the whole Pulp Fiction sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
Ron, you know. But, hey, why can't we laugh at ourselves?
Right.
We all make mistakes. Now, if I didn't laugh, I'd be living in a hole.
Be
not happy.
I think that's where a lot of us get into entertainment. A lot of us people who like to entertain is life is better when we're having fun and enjoying ourselves.
Exactly.
A lot of us, again, in entertainment, also the comical side, we we see everything, and we see just how terrible things can be. And it's true, as like you said, not just in your case, but in a lot of cases, if you're not laughing, you want to cry. Let's just be real.
Right.
I just, because you're a feeling person, and like you said, you care about people, you want to help people. So obviously, you're very in tune with your sensitivity.
Right.
What about this? What about Sea Org? Was it that made you say no? Is there something specific about Sea Org, or something in your mind about it that made you say absolutely not?
You know, I always looked at it. Wow, they contributed their life to this group for a billion years, which is hard to fathom anyway.
Right.
The whole concept, which I always had trouble with, but I always kept my mouth shut because I didn't want to be thrown into ethics. But I just didn't want my daughter to be recruited that young, and also I just wanted her to live her life, you know. It's like I was told, well, when you raise your daughter, you can join the Sea Org too, and I'm like, but I don't want to. I want to sing. I want to do all the things I haven't been doing while I'm going up the bridge, Scientology bridge, so that I can, you know, I kept thinking, no, this is, I want to sing and dance and act. That's always what I've done. I don't know. I it's funny because I there were so many people I did love, and so many people that have gone, died or left the church, and you don't hear from them. And you know, people genuinely really wanted to help, and so I met some really nice people in the church, but we were all duped. And the ones that are still in, they just either are afraid to leave, like I was for years, or they just have no, they are so brainwashed that they can't leave, or they don't know anything else. Some of them have been in 40, 50 years. They have no pension. They have no Social Security. They will leave, and where will they be? Where will they go?
So, I mean, so if I'm getting this right, basically you've taken enough of what you wanted out of life. You didn't want that to happen to your daughter. But what was the fear of leaving? What were you afraid that you wouldn't have any support system at all, or you've been dependent on them?
When you get into Scientology, you have friends from all walks of life. The longer I got in, the more I had insulated myself with, all of a sudden, the doctor that I had was now a Scientologist, the chiropractor, the dermatologist, the tax, the accountant guy, my bookkeeper, my agent, my manager, my friends, my photographer. If I had a cleaning person, it'd be a Scientologist. If I had an airport driver, he is a Scientologist. I was so insulated.
Mm.
So, so when you leave, you lose a lot of that. Now, did I have friends outside of Scientology? Yes. Were they there when I got out? Absolutely. They did not judge me. They loved me unconditionally when I was in. But when I got out of Scientology, that's not the case. That's not the case. So, leaving Scientology is like, well, also when you think about it, you're eating crow. You're basically telling everybody, hey, I just spent $1 million in almost 2 decades, and it was like a big mistake.
I got pumped in a big way.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So you look at this.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You had a point. Go ahead.
No, I didn't.
I didn't want to interrupt you. I'm sorry. No, I'm looking at this, and I look at folks like, and you said kind things about John Travolta. You got Leah Remini, who just got out, and you've got Kirstie Alley. And I remember them all, not John Travolta specifically, but I do remember Mike Rinder. Leah Remini and Kirstie
Rinder.
You would know the pronunciation better, I guess. Sorry. Rinder, Leah Remini, and Kirstie Alley were all interviewed by John Sweeney from the BBC, as a reporter, did an investigative report years ago. Shortly after you got in, I think, or shortly around the time you're thinking about getting out, rather. And he did an interview with them. He was being followed around by camera crews, which I guess you can confirm happens. He was being harassed for doing the investigative report. And he interviewed Kirstie Alley, Leah Remini, a few other people. Mark Rinder specifically, it was as if they...
I keep saying Mark Rinder and Mike Rinder.
Sorry.
Well, you're thinking of Mark Rathburn.
I got to be.
Yeah, they were interviewed by John Sweeney when they were all in.
Right.
Still. But I know Mike got out shortly after that interview, which
yes.
is great. He's a fantastic person.
But this is my point. Has he been a support system for you?
They do. I don't know Leah Remini. I know she has a huge support system from her family, only from what I've read. And I'm sure because, you know, I mean, just like I said, from what I've read. And I did know her mom when I was in because we were on course together for a while. But I didn't know Leah at all. Mike I knew because I met him when I went to his wedding. But and Kirstie I only knew because I sat at her. We both shopped at the same store and sat together a couple times. But she was never someone who I interacted with or went to parties with or anything.
Okay.
But, you know, they were interviewed, and, yeah, I know that Scientology, you know, when people get out, they, especially the Sea Org people and the people that have something to say, like Mike Rinder and Marty went through a lot. But, like I said, I only read things. So
right.
I only read what you read.
So I'm going to, I want to ask you just from an opinion standpoint, because you can't be in Mike Rinder's mind, you can't be in Leah Remini's mind, or Kirstie Alley, anybody, but I can ask you what you think is happening here, because if you go back, you can actually find them on YouTube and everything, these interviews, he asked them about their practices, he asked them about Xenu, and they all looked at him like he had three heads, and Mike Rinder in particular, it was like, I mean, I know technically he was almost Miscavige's right-hand man, is that right?
Yeah.
David Miscavige, I believe his name.
Yeah.
It was as if you were talking to David himself. He was just a real, and I don't say this. I'm not attacking Mike now because I'm trying to understand what happened here.
He was
a total prick to John Sweeney on this interview, for lack of a better term. He completely. You could tell he was being a jerk. You can tell he was being avoiding. And I don't know what's happening with Kirstie Alley and Leah Remini and these other people when they're being interviewed and they look at them and they deny. Is it different for these higher-up people in such a big way that they don't know Xenu's story or they don't know what's happening or are they being forced to say these things?
They all know it. Let me just tell you, they all know it. And I was when I first opened up the material, if someone reads, and I learned this very early on, OT3 was the wall of fire. If someone reads this material that aren't as advanced or ready to get this, they could die. They could seriously. I mean, I think Ron said he broke his back when he was researching OT3. I can't remember what tape. It's RG67 or something.
Those tapes, I've heard them.
A lot of things just, yeah. I mean, but the thing is I had gotten home from being on OT7, and a friend of mine was in my kitchen, and she said, "Hey," and she said, "Is it true that there's these body thetans and these alien life forms attached to your body, blah, blah, blah?" I looked at her, and I said, "You got to be friggin' kidding me." I'm like, "You really think I spent all this money to do that? Seriously?" I was trained not to say anything. I made her wrong. I basically made her go, "What the heck, man?
It's too embarrassing."
Well, I couldn't disclose it. It would cost me so much money
when
I went down to Clearwater for my tune-up, my checkup. It would cost me so much money if I said, "Oh, I just told somebody about OT3.
Oh.
You know? So they were doing the right thing because they were drilled. You know, before you go on television, these people, before they're interviewed, they're drilled what to say and what not to say. I mean, I was even drilled. I said, "Why do people keep calling Scientology a cult?" And then I was drilled on what to say when someone calls Scientology a cult. I was like, "Well, it's from the word culture. All religions are from the word culture, blah, blah, blah." And I had to drill it, like, rote, you know?
All right, so that's the end of part two. Part three is next week. I just want to say a few quick things just for clarification. First of all, I apologize to Mike Rinder for butchering his name. And I called Mike Rinder a prick based on the way he was treating John Sweeney. I just want to clarify that my point was, and I think it was kind of clear there, that these people like Leah Remini and Mike Rinder said these things and were very vehemently in denial, and now that they're out, they're very honest and forthcoming about it and tell you exactly what is happening. And it's very different personality switches between these particular personalities. Well, what I want to say is I've done some more digging since doing this interview, and I found that Mike Rinder left Scientology right after berating John Sweeney, which I thought was kind of interesting, and I have some thoughts on that, but I don't want to speak and put words in Mike's mind, mouth. I don't know what's going on in Mike's head. So Mike Rinder, if you're listening, if you know Mike Rinder, ask him to come on the show. I'd love to have you on and talk to you from your perspective. You'll have a unique perspective, even more unique than Kathy's. You know, this isn't the anti-Scientology come get some show, but it would really be great to have you on, and I'd be honored, Mike. In the meantime, next week, we'll talk more about John Travolta. I'll have some words for John Travolta, for Michael, for David Miscavige, and for Scientology in general. You won't want to miss that. It's a special invitation that I don't really expect to be accepted, but we'll see how that goes. A couple questions here. Is this Kathy Schenkelbert's favorite interview? Does she think I have a face that belongs somewhere other than radio because I'm just so good looking? Will we see Dianetics Episode 7, L. Ronald Weakens? Find out the answer to these questions and much more next week on Come Get Some. Until then, thank you for listening. That about sums it up. Have a good weekend. Stay connected. I'm getting down to the sum of this. The sum of that. The sum of everything.
Come. Come. Yeah.